40 verses on reality, உள்ளது 40 the invocatory mangalam verses, commentary by Lakshmana Sharma, Sri Ramana Maharishi's composition 40 verses on reality, உள்ளது 40 is a veritable beacon of light to devotees, containing the essence of Sri Bhagavan's teachings. It indeed is a Jnana Sastra consisting of 40 profound verses that expound the nature of reality, of that which is. Sri Lakshmana Sharma, who, though initially hesitant to study this work, citing his inexperience in the Tamil language, was encouraged to do so when Sri Bhagavan himself said that he personally would tutor him and clarify whatever doubts might arise. What grace! What followed were 3 years of one-on-one instruction for Sri Sharma, given graciously by the endless ocean of compassion, Sri Ramana. Sharma's commentary on 40 verses on reality was published as early as 1936. Commenting on the merit of this work, Sri Bhagavan stated, "Everyone is saying that Lakshmana Sharma's commentary on Ulladu 40 is the best. Nobody has studied Ulladu 40 the way Sharma has." Here we present Sharma's comments on the first two invocatory verses, the Mangalam verses. The translation into English has been done by Case, to whom we are immensely grateful for bringing this work to a wider audience. It is published by Sri Ramanashramo. The recitation of Ulladu 40, including invocatory verses, are available on YouTube. Meaning, numerous indeed are the texts of spiritual instruction graciously bestowed by Bhagavan, but that which claims the pride of place among them is Ulladu 40, which means the text that expounds that which is Ulladu, the reality in 40 verses. Sri Bhagavan, whoever abided in Sahaja Samadhi, the experience of the union of Brahman and Atman, instructs in this text a direct path to the state he had realized as his constant experience, namely the state of deliverance, so that devotees or aspirants may seek and dwell in that immaculate state of non-dual Atman. This state is different from anything else because it is a state of non-duality. There is no object to be known, nor is there a subject, a knower, the soul, and hence there is no knowing. Invocation. The text has two invocatory verses. The truth of that Atman, that non-dual, pure being and consciousness, abiding in which and verily as that in the heart space within us is called Mukti, is spoken of in the first verse. The second verse speaks of Ishvara, the Saguna form, with name and form of the same Atman that confers the self-name deliverance on those who surrender themselves, rather their ego sense, in all devotion to that Ishvara. Verse 1 in Tamil. Ulladala thullavunar ulladho ullapuru ullallara ullatte ulladha லுள்ளமெனு முள்ளபுரு லுள்ளலெவ நுள்ளத்தே யுள்ளபடி யுள்ளதே லுணர். The same verse has been transliterated into English in the following para. Padachedam was split into its component words. Ulladu, aladu, ulla, unarvu, ulladu, ulla purul, ullal, are, ullate, ulladal, ullam, enum, ulla purul, ullal, evan, உள்ளத்தே உள்ளபடி உள்ளதே உள்ளல் உணர். இம்போர்ட்: கேன் தேர் பி எ ஃபீலிங் அவேர்னஸ் ஆஃப் எக்ஸிஸ்டன்ஸ் விதவுட் சம்திங் தட் ஈஸ் எக்ஸிஸ்ட்? கேன் தேர் பி எ ட்ரூ அவேர்னஸ் ரியாலிட்டி அதர் தேன் தட் விச் ஈஸ்? சின்ஸ் தட் விச் எக்ஸிஸ்ட் டுவெல்ஸ் பிரெஃப்ட் ஆஃப் தாட்ஸ் இன் த ஹார்ட் இட் செல்ஃப் called the heart. Who is there who can meditate on that which is? Satvastu. And how to meditate? Know that to meditate on it is to be as that Satvastu is. To remain in the heart without thoughts. Commentary. Know there are three statements in this Venba, as the first affirmation has two different imports. We may deem these words to have four statements. The mere focus on the content of the text, namely that which is, the Satvasu itself constitutes the invocation. Further, we are instructed that abiding verily as the content of that Satvasu and not as apart from that Vastu unceasingly constitutes its meditation. As Bhagavan himself ever established as the content of that his power excellence, the ceaseless meditator of that Vastu. And we may take these words to be an invocation to that form of meditation, namely Bhagavan as well. 1. Ulladu, aladu, ulla, unarvu, ulladu. Is there a feeling of existence without something that exists? Herein, the considered conclusion, namely that there exists a Satvastu, that which is propounded. Considering the unreality of the seemingly real triad, world, God and Jiva as the foregone or established conclusion, there must need be the truth of a substratum that provides the basis for their appearance. Therefore, that there definitely is a Satvasu, that which is, which is spoken of as Brahman in the Upanishads, is the teaching imparted here, and this forms the first of the two imports of the same sentence. Bhagavan has explained this content as follows. Everybody perceives the world and one's own self who perceives the world. He further considers them both as real. If they are real, they must continue to shine uninterruptedly without disappearing. But they shine only intermittently and not constantly. Appearing in dream and wakeful states, they disappear in deep sleep. In other words, they appear when the mind manifests itself and do not appear when the mind is not. Therefore, rising and falling with the mind. They are coextensive with it. Hence, the jiva who perceives and the world spectacle perceived are but thought forms of the mind and are not real. That from which the thoughts of the mind emanate and into which they subside is the true vastu that shines uninterruptedly. The same content is elucidated in verse 7 as well. A verse in chapter 2 of the Bhagavad Gita, Nasato Vidyate Bhavo Na Bhavo Vidyate Satha. There is never any real existence for the unreal, neither is there any non-existence for the real. What saves the truth declared here, namely the distinction between the real vastu and mere unreal appearances, is that which appears intermittently is unreal, and that which shines uninterruptedly is real. Footnote: the test of reality is the continuity of existence without change, which is the evidence of transcendence of time and other elements of relativity. The averment of Sri Gaudapada that what had no existence in the beginning and will not exist after some time is not existent even in the intervening period, during which it seems to exist, also bash out this truth. Those who accept this definition of truth are Advaitins, non-dualists. The others are Dvaitins, dualists. However, all creeds are acceptable to Sri Bhagavan. The analogy of a rope appearing as a snake is used to explain the statement declared here that though the world appearance is unreal, a Satvasu exists as its basis or substratum. Just as the rope is real and the snake a false appearance, the appearance of the triad, the jiva, the individual soul, God and Jagat. Footnote: though the world is one of triad, in the absence of the world, the other two are not. They exist only when the world exists. Therefore, whenever the world is referred to, it must be inferred that it includes the other two. The jiva, God, and the world are imagined superimpositions on it. The world is unreal and Brahman alone is the sole reality. Since no snake can appear in the absence of a rope, the rope, the basic reality, is called the adhisthana, substratum. As a snake is a mere appearance, imagined and projected, it is called arupitam, superimposed. Likewise, Brahman, that which is the substratum. This analogy throws light on yet another truth. The appearance of the imagined snake obscures the rope, the substratum, and the rope shines as rope only when the imagined snake ceases to appear, thus proving that it is the nature of superimposition, arupitam, to effectively conceal the truth of the substratum, adhisthana. Since what is just one, the imagined false appearance on it cannot but veil it. In the same way, the superimposed world precludes and prevents the truth of adhisthana, Brahman, from shining. Now, what is the sole reality, Brahman? the only one, it appears as the word, not as it is in its effulgence. So long as Brahman is seen as the world, Brahman will not shine as Brahman. Only in the state of knowledge, the state of experience of being the self, when the world appearance gets obliterated, will Brahman shine in its own true form, in all the splendor of one unbroken reality, the self. This nature of appearing and willing is called Maya. Its inherent nature is to make the real appear as unreal and the unreal appear as real. Man, precisely because of this power of Maya, starts deluded, taking the unreal world for the real and himself, a jiva, inextricably caught up in it. Though in truth there is no such thing as Maya, one becomes aware of this truth only after the experience of being the self. Nonetheless, until the dawn of enlightenment, during the period when the world appears real, that notion that Maya exists has to be acceded to. Everybody knows by common experience that very often that which remains as something appears as something else. The same way, while a sattvastu, that which is, remains bereft of names and forms, transcending time and space with absolute non-difference, solely as pure being and awareness, we perceive it as the world. The disciple who queries the reason for this distortion is told by the master that it is a function of Maya known as nescience, primal ignorance or ajnana. But that which is, the sattvastu, undergoes no change and ever remains the same, never slipping from its own nature. This truth is called Ajata Siddhantam. Footnote: the truth of non-becoming, as categorically stated by sage Gaudapada in Mandukya Karika, is as follows. The world did not come into being, nor will it be destroyed. No one called the individual soul really was born. There is neither a bound one, nor one that has become free, nor is there any aspirant. The truth of non-becoming, this is in tune with the truth experienced by sages and the rationale of inferential logic. The mental delusion of the perceiver, jiva, is the cause for the appearance of a snake in a rope. The perceiver here being sentient with awareness, it is seen that the appearance of a snake is due to the wrong awareness engendered by mental delusion. In what is explained, footnote, that to explain which an analogy is used is called Darshtantikam in Sanskrit, and the analogy is called Drishtantam. No analogy can be totally perfect and it cannot be extended to its logical end. Here, with an analogy, further questions arise. By what light of awareness do these three, the jiva, God and world, appear? Do they appear by the light of awareness of something that is other than Brahman? Is Brahman then sentient or not? Further, is Brahman with awareness or is awareness just its form? In other words, is consciousness an attribute or a function of Brahman or is it its very nature? The answers to all these questions constitute the other, second import of the same sentence. 2. உள்ளது அல்லது உள்ள உணர்வு உள்ளதோ. The awareness required for the ullapurul sattvasu to shine either as it is in truth or as the unreal world is none other than the sattvasu itself. That ullapurul, that which is itself the form of awareness, a solid mass of jnana, that is jnana personified. In truth, there is no other awareness apart from it for it to shine, and it shines by its own light of awareness in its self-revealing effulgence, or the self is self-revealed. The fact that Brahman, the form of awareness alone, remains the revealing light both when Brahman appears as the world during the period of ignorance and also when Brahman shines as it is, as self, simply as being awareness, is clear. Footnote: the effulgence of Brahman is indeed the reason for world appearance. It is not totally veiled by the world. The full unbroken awareness of Brahman shrinks as the ego sense and reveals the world. A further import that is gleaned from this sentence is that as there is no true awareness apart from Brahman, the so-called jiva, that has no real existence, appearing as if other than Brahman, is spurious awareness. The one who as perceiver beholds the spectacle of the world is this spurious awareness, the jiva. Bhagavan has explained that this jiva, the perceiver, is also a part of the world appearance, and the same content is further clarified in the first verse. Namulaham as well. Bhagavan christens this jiva as poli uyir, spurious or unreal soul or imitation soul, in one of the supplementary verses, verse 17. The chidabhasha, reflected awareness or spurious awareness, that the Vedantic texts speak of is this jiva. Men under the way of nisansa regard him as the self or atman, name him jivatman and God as paramatman, and speak as if there are two atmans. Other than Brahman, ulladu, that which is, there is none other as jiva, is the instruction bestowed. Hence the atman that we are Brahman alone and not any other. This is the doctrine of union of Atman and Brahman, the core teaching of the Upanishads, upheld by Sri Shankara as well. This is the transcendental truth that shines in all its splendor in the state of knowledge or in the state of experience of being the self. But we, in the dense darkness of ignorance, unable to comprehend this truth, take the spurious jiva to be the self and all else as other than that. It is clear from this that Brahman, ulladu, that which is the sole truth, and it is also the awareness that reveals itself. Brahman alone is the self, atman, and there is nothing, either sentient or insentient, as other than that. That remains without any kind of distinction, such as the perceiver and the perceived spectacle. This indeed is the doctrine of Advaita. Advaita means the one science a second. To be continued.